May 18th, 2015. This is our coaching call. So welcome. I'm going to begin with taking questions and then move into doing the second half of the call script, if that is what's useful to people, which last time we spoke, I think it was. So if you have a question, please raise your hand by pressing 1 on the dial pad. No questions so far. If it is useful for me to do the free consult and kind of go over that again using Heather as the pretend client, if you like the sound of that, please press 2 on your dial pad. Okay. Looks good. Let me see if Heather's willing. Heather, are you there?
Yes, I'm willing.
Okay. Do you remember, does anybody remember where we left off last time? Meryl raised his hand. Let's see what Meryl says. Meryl, where do we leave off?
Hi, Dan. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
We basically ended at the, we actually did everything that we were going to do on the script just before this portion of the script. So we had gone through and...
we got all the way through the mini-stories?
Yes, we did. We did some mini-stories there.
Heather, does that sound right? Did we get, do you have a shadow of a memory on that?
I don't, but maybe I'm just fuzzy.
Yeah.
I don't remember where we ended. I'm sorry.
Yeah, neither do I. Mary, do you remember at all where we ended? Can you look at your notes even and see what the last thing is you might have written down?
Am I, Mike, am I muted or can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah, you're on.
Okay. I agree with Meryl. I think it was the personal stories, the little...
We went all the way to personal stories.
Does everyone
feel comfortable with how and when to use the mini stories? Or I should say,
yes.
Does anyone need any clarification on how to use the mini stories and when to use them? Okay. And so, all right. I'll kind of, does someone say my name?
Yeah, me. Can you hear me? Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
What you did when you did the story, you basically just did it in context in your health program, according to my notes. So you didn't get into describing when, you know, what story to use or when to use it. It was just you continued with the whole role play experience. So if you want to elaborate on that, that's fine if anybody wants to hear about it, but that's where you stood.
Yeah, okay. I was just about to pick up right about there anyhow. So thank you for that. Everyone, if you can take your notes out so you can continue from wherever you left off last time. Before I dive in with Heather, I just want to say this piece about the mini stories and the whole part 2 in general, or phase 2. Just as a refresher, I think I said this last time, but I'm going to say it again just to get us back in the mindset. Phase 2 is about asking the right questions for you so that you can diagnose the root causes of what's causing your client problems. And root causes are simply whatever they're missing or whatever they're not doing, whatever they don't have, depending on what your topic is that you're working on with people. If it's in the context of business, like Heather and Mary, then it might be something like, do you have a funnel? Do you have a website? Does your website have a list builder on it? You're asking the kinds of questions so that you can diagnose root causes of why their business isn't growing in the online way. And whenever you identify a root cause, you want to tell them to write it down. So during phase two, the client is supposed to be making a list of all the root causes of their problems. Whatever they're missing, whatever they don't have, whatever they don't know how to do. In the case of Merrill, it's going to be know what they don't know how to do or aren't doing or haven't done yet. So in the case of someone like Anne who's doing health coaching, it can be like, this is what you're not doing, not eating, you're not exercising, you're eating gluten, right? So that's a root cause of like inflammation. So there, phase two is all about you asking the questions you need to ask so that you can identify all the problems, all the root causes, all the missing elements. And then you're making a list while you simultaneously tell the client to make a list while you're talking. You want them to actually have a piece of paper or a computer screen where they're literally making a list of what's missing and what's wrong. And with every root cause, it's useful to tell a mini story. I recommend telling at least 3 mini stories during your free consult. And mini stories belong in phase two, not in phase one. So you're only going to be telling mini stories in phase two. Try to fit in 3. You're going to bring up a mini story whenever somebody, well, whenever you identify a root cause. You might say, so for the, in the example of Mary, you might say, so you don't have a blog. So write that down. Write down blog. You can even tell them under the category of what you're missing. So write down on a piece of paper what I'm missing. And then under that, the first thing to write down is blog. So without a blog, you're going to do like a quick moment of education. Without a blog, people don't know what you're about and what you stand for and how you can help them. With a blog, you get to talk about what you do and your expertise so that people learn how you can help them, and then they just want to work with you. It's like free advertising. If you're not taking advantage of it, you're missing out. So blog is really important. So that might be, you know, my 2 sentences to educate the person on why a blog is important. And then I might drop into a mini story. I once worked with a woman who had a website, but she didn't have a blog. When she met me, she was only getting 2 new customers a month. After I helped her set up her blog and taught her how to write the article, and she followed my format, she was getting 10 new customers a month. And it was all free, because blogging is free. So that's an example of how you might employ a mini story after you've identified a root cause. The other time that you would use a mini story is when somebody says something like, you might be asking a question, something to the effect of about learning. Most of the time, for almost anybody, no matter what business you have, it's useful or it can be useful to ask a question about learning. Like in the case of Merrill, in the past when you've tried to learn how to use computer programs, what was that like for you? And the person might say, oh, it was really frustrating. I took a class and the class moved so fast I couldn't keep up with it and then I just felt overwhelmed and I never really learned. Now that's a good time that you could use a mini story because the person has just told you one of their problems they've had in the past. And if you wanted, you can name a root cause right there. The root cause of this problem would be not having customized education. So Merrill might say to the person, okay, write down that what's missing here is a customized education or a personal mentor is a different root cause that you can identify there. Whether it's customized education or a personal mentor, either way, both of those solutions provide slower learning based on the speed of the learner. So Merrill, you might have them say, write down personalized mentor, like this is what was missing from learning in the past. And then you can drop a mini story. I worked with a guy who tried to take a class on Excel, and the class moves so fast, they only show you how to do each thing once. But that's not how humans learn. So when this guy worked with me, after only 4 sessions, he was able to do everything he wanted to do in Excel, whereas in the class, he was in that class for 10 weeks and couldn't even do half the stuff. So that's a mini story that you can drop that's showing off how having that personal mentor means you're going to learn better rather than a group class where you can't slow the teacher down, for example. Although in your group classes, because I'm encouraging each of you to have a group class as your smallest package, I do recommend slowing down for people so that you're not leaving too many people behind. So that they, because especially if you use that story somewhere along the way in your free consult, later on when you get to your packages, when you show that you have a group class, you don't want to turn people off from that. So one of the things you might end up saying as a mini story is, when I teach my group classes, I go at the pace of the students in the class. If somebody needs to see something again, we do it. Or you might say something like, all my classes are videotaped. And so I might show you once in class, but I give you access to the video. So if you think, oh my gosh, what was it that he did again? You can just hop onto YouTube, replay the video, and you'll have it right there at your fingertips. So that's how you use mini stories. Try to get through three of them. And the reason for that is, psychologically, the most common number of times that an average person needs to hear something or see something in order to believe that it's true is three times. So that's why three. The most common number of times somebody needs to hear something or see something to believe that it's true. And in this case, it's not, it doesn't have to be the same thing. In this case, it's just what the mini stories are exemplifying is you have the ability to actually take a person from point A to point B. Like, that's really what the mini stories end up exemplifying. It's not the only thing they exemplify. It's one of the things they exemplify. And once a person hears that three times, it usually hits most humans' number of times they need to hear something in order to be like, oh, yeah, okay. You know, this person can help me. So that's why three. So now we're going to get to the final phase of the free consult. So I'd like you to, if you haven't done so yet, open up the Google Doc called Dana's Example Free Consultation Call Script. Or whatever the, wherever you have it stored. Maybe you copied and pasted it, put it somewhere else. But I'd like you to follow along on the script. Then I'm going to unmic or turn on Heather's mic so she can play client again.
Okay.
And so just imagine I've already asked Heather, you know, all those questions I need to ask her. I've made her make a list of all the root causes of the problems in her life that we're working on. And I've told at least three mini stories. So now I just simply take a pause in the conversation and say, so, if I can help you, and then I need to name her goals from phase one. And Heather, I think when we were practicing this, we did this on the topic of family entanglement, and you named some business goals, like...
Yes, yes.
Goodness, can you give me one of your business goals? You might have example 20K, that first time.
Oh, sure, 20K a month.
Great. All right. So let's start with that. Okay. So we've just done questions. We've just done mini stories. I take a pause, and then I change my tone of voice. I say, okay, so if I can help you reach 20K a month, is that something you'd be curious about?
I am curious about that, yes.
Okay. So now I'm laughing when I say okay because it was kind of cute how she said it. So react warmly. React like you're a friend. Don't just be mechanical when you get to this part. You know, so if I can help you with that, is that something you're curious about? Yes. Okay. Are you by a computer? Right? Like, don't be so, like, in a rush. Don't rush this part. Don't forget to be human at this part. Like, stay just as connected, just as warm. Stay in the best friend energy. Treat them like family. Don't turn into a robot when you get here. So I laughed when she said that because it's kind of cute. I was like, okay, so are you by a computer right now?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to email you my specialties list. So let me know when you have it open. pause. Now recall that the last time we were doing this, I said, before you get on your free consult with somebody, preload the emails in your email program. Like put their address in the address part, write the subject line, load, attach your specialties list to the email, so it's already attached, and then you can send it right when they say yes here, or you can actually send it in phase two so that by the time that you get here, it's already in their inbox. And you don't have to wait. Because otherwise, sometimes if you send it at right this point where she says yes, sure, send it to me, then we have to sit in about a minute of silence, which you then have to fill.
Mm-hmm.
Which is okay. I've done it. I mean, I'm too busy in the questions to, like, go over to the, emails and send it to them at that point. So it's fine if you end up waiting until this point. I try to remember to do it a little bit earlier if I can. And if I do end up waiting until this point, then I start talking to them a little bit about the specialties list. So I might push the send button, then I might say to them the next piece right here. Since we only had a little bit of time today, we can't cover everything that could be addressed or everything that could be useful to you. That's why I have my specialties list. This is a list of all the different things that I do for people. So let me know when you have it open. Now, I don't get to this next part. Don't worry, there's no time you have to make a choice until they have it open, because that sentence doesn't make sense until they're looking at the document. So at this point, if you need to kill time, you can say things like, did it show up yet? And they'll say, no, it's not here yet. And I'll say, well, it takes a minute to get to you because it does have to go through. And depending on where they live, by the way, the further away they live from you, the longer it takes. Because it really is going through, like, cords, fiber optic cables and whatnot. And so sometimes what I start saying to people is, have you clicked the refresh button yet? Let's try that. And then if it's still not there, I might make a joke about how it's going over the airwaves, and I guess it just takes a minute to get there. I might go back and say something else from what we talked about that just comes to mind. I might, if I really get desperate, I might actually go on to the next part of the script right here that says, don't worry, it's not a time you have to make a decision or a choice. But before I say that line, if they don't have the document open, I have to describe what the document is, or else that sentence about not making a decision or a choice doesn't make sense. I'd have to say something like, so the specialties list is a list of all the things I specialize in. When you have it open, you will notice that it's a bunch of titles in bold that are the names of things that I do for people. Don't worry, this is where I can then say the next sentence. Now, don't worry, this is not a time where you have to make a decision or a choice. Right now, I just want to employ your intuition or your gut instinct. Do you have the email now? And then
yes.
Wait for them to open it. Sorry. Great. Can you open the document?
Yes.
Cool. So when you look at this list, don't read the descriptions. Just look at the bolded titles. Please say out loud the things that capture your interest or grab your attention or your curiosity. And again, you're not making a decision. You're not making a choice. You're not choosing like what you want to work on. I just am using this to learn more about you and what's actually useful for you. So all I'm doing is kind of re-repeating those instructions right now. Now that she has it open, even though I've already just said it a moment ago, I'm going to re-say it once she has it open because people get confused, or they can. So it's always better to be clear. So again, just say out loud the things that capture your interest or grab your attention or your curiosity. I'm ready when you are.
Well, I don't have it. But
yeah. Just say some random things so that I can let people hear and let you hear what I sound like when people choose.
The public speaking, the systems in place for success, and the family entanglement intrigue me.
Can you just pause for a second? Heather, when people actually go to this part of it, they speak slower because they're reading as they go. So can you say those same three things, but can you say them slowly as if you're reading a document. So you can hear how I respond.
Okay. The systems in place for your success looks interesting.
Oh, that's a good one. Okay. Yeah, what else?
Mm-hmm. The family disentanglement, that's intriguing.
Yeah. Okay, good.
And public speaking, I want that one.
Ooh, okay, that's something we didn't get to talk about. All right, that's good to know. So pause. You can hear how I'm reacting to most things that she says. Now, most people will actually give me more than three. They'll probably give you more than three. Not always, but let's just say they give you a list of 10. You don't have to react to every single one with as many words as I just did. Sometimes I just go, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm, oh, mm, good one. But I'm often making some kind of acknowledgement after everything they say, even if it's just or mm-hmm. And then to the things that surprise me or excite me, I might go, ooh, cool, or oh, yeah, that's a good one. And because we don't get to talk about everything during the free consult, I am learning about this client when they say these things to me. Like, she just revealed public speaking is interesting to her. Maybe I did nothing in terms of public speaking during phase two. I never learned that she was interested in public speaking. So she might end up saying out loud the public speaking thing, and I might go, ooh, okay, I didn't know that that was something that was important to you. Awesome. So that's a real reaction. Like, I'm learning something that's cool about this person. So let your reactions, one, let them know that you're right there with them, sometimes with that simple, mm-hmm, okay, okay, good. Yeah, what else? Ah, that's a good one. Because maybe you realize from talking to them that that is a good one. You know, she said family entanglements. Yes, that's a good one, considering what we talked about, absolutely, right? And then she says something that you didn't expect. React normally. Wow, yeah, I didn't know that about you. Cool. So be right there with them as they go through that list. Respond naturally, respond warmly, let them know that you're listening. And then there's two supplemental questions here in the free consult. Now, you can choose to use these. You can play with them and see if you like them. First supplemental question is, and so I've got a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Now that you've seen my specialties list, you've actually even seen a little bit more of what I do, I'm curious. If we work together, what do you see, or what did I, that's phrased poorly. I'm rephrase this. I just retyped it really quickly on the Google Doc if you're looking at the live doc. So one way of phrasing this is, if we work together, what are the things you see yourself getting out of it?
Well, the major thing, based on what you told me about your story and the success you can give to others and what I'm looking at, what you offer, just the major thing is that I feel like you're going to take me by the hand and kind of lead me up the staircase of success and to whatever I'm meant to develop into, but you're going to be there for me and, like, lay the foundation each step in front of me. That's what I see. That's the sense I get.
Okay, awesome. I like your analogy, by the way. And I really do like her analogy, and I giggled when she said that part of it because it's really adorable. So, again, stay human, stay warm, stay connected. Next supplemental question. Okay, so I've got a question for you now. I'm also choosy about who I work with. So I like to take a moment and ask you a question to see if you'd be someone that I would want to work with. And so here, in the script, I wrote, insert question here about who you like to work with. For example, I like to work with people who, when I help them succeed, they'll turn around and help others. So what charities do you or would you support? Or what causes do you care about?
The ASPCA and anti-factory farming. are the nearest to my heart.
Oh, why is that? Why those two?
Because
you just make something up.
Because when I hear about it, it just kind of rips my heart out, and I want to do something about it, and not being able to do something about it gets to me.
Okay, awesome. Cool. Yeah, by the way, y'all can do this too. One of my missions on the planet is, you can tell people your mission. One of my missions on the planet is to create as much positive change as possible. And so I like to know that when I choose someone to work with, because I only have so many people I can help, right, so many spots, I want to know that when I work with somebody that it's going to make a bigger effect on the planet, like they're going to turn around and help somebody else. So that's good. I'm super glad to hear that you're into those two charities. So that's That's supplemental question number two. So I will tell you the psychology behind these two supplemental questions.
Mm-hmm.
The first one allows you to hear what the person probably most values about working with you and what they've learned about you so far. And it also gives them an opportunity to, in a way, talk themselves into working with you. Because this question sets their mind up to envision what they will get out of working with you. So they start picturing it. You're inviting them to, like, check out that future and step into that future. And it lets you learn about what's really important and valuable to them. Like, I learned about Heather that she really likes this idea of being held and somebody holding her hand and showing her step by step and, like, walking her up that staircase of success. Like, it's a beautiful analogy. And so if I choose to work with her and if she likes me and wants to work with me, I know now that one of the most valuable things to her is this sense of being held and things being broken down step by step. The psychology behind supplemental question number two is to let people know two things. One, that you don't just work with anybody that comes your way. Like, it's not just an open door, revolving door policy, and you'll just take anyone. That you also are looking yourself for the right match. And that puts the other person in a different psychology, because a lot of times with other practitioners out there, they might just take anybody who walks through the door, and they might be a bit not telling the truth about what they do simply because they're going for the sale. Like, the sale and the sign-up is the most important thing to them, and not actually being the right fit for each other. And so this question allows people to realize that you yourself are looking for the right fit. And for that matter, you yourself have a larger mission or purpose. And you want to make sure that the person that you're choosing to work with is in alignment with who you want to work with and what your larger mission is. And that also helps to build trust, because people realize you're not one of those revolving door practitioners who's just going to take any Jack or Jane off the street and who's going to lie to them just to get the sale. You have principles, you have values, you have something you're actually trying to do that's larger than just get the sale. You have a vision. And in a sense, in a way, for a moment, you're now interviewing them. Because for most of the free consult, they're kind of interviewing you, they're feeling out whether or not they want to work with you. It's really nice to create this experience where they also realize that they're being interviewed and that you're looking for the right fit and the right match. So that's a nice other supplemental piece that you can bring in as well. That one does take you having to figure out what is your mission, your larger mission, and then what is the question you'd like to ask them in alignment with that. Someone once asked me, well, am I supposed to be asking questions to try to just exclude people? No, this isn't a time where you're trying to create a question that's so exclusionary that half the people fail the question. You don't want to make it so tight, unless that's really what's true to you, right? If it's really what's true to you is that you're really only specifically looking to work with, for example, social entrepreneurs, and if this person is not a social entrepreneur, you're not going to work with them. Well, if that's the case, you shouldn't be waiting until the end of the call to bring that up. That should have been way earlier, before you even wasted your whole time doing a free session for them. This question is not meant to be that piece of super exclusionary. It's meant to be a little bit more of just learning a little bit more about the person to feel if they feel right and have it be an open-ended question enough that people don't feel like they're failing out of the question. You're not trying to scare people, but you are trying to just show that you're looking for the right fit. And I particularly happen to like this question. And now, it doesn't have to be charities. That's just the example I wrote here. You can actually make it even more open than that, such as, if I help you, who will you turn around and help? Are there friends, like in the case of business where you're helping people make some more money, you can say to them, you know, are there friends or family that you would want to reach out and support once you make more money? Are there charities or causes that you care about? If it's maybe if you're working with health, like Anne, you might say something like, I like to know that when I help someone with their health, they're going to, that health is going to then have a positive effect on others around them. So when you're healthier, what positive effect do you think it'll have on others around you? Now, that's a very open-ended question because the person could answer, well, I'll start feeding my family healthier. Oh, great. Creating healthier families, raising healthier children who become healthier adults in tomorrow's future, that's awesome. Or they could answer, once I have more energy, then I'll have more energy at my caretaking job where I take care of the elderly, which means at work I'll be able to help more people because I'm stronger. Awesome. Great. You know, stronger to help the people who really need your kind of help, especially the elderly who could really use your physical support. And if we have you having more energy, that's going to make the world a better place. So you can keep it a fairly open-ended question like that. You know, who, if I helped you, what positive effect will it have anywhere else in the world or anywhere else in other people's lives or at home or at work? You can keep it fairly open. All right, that's the two supplemental questions. By the way, if they don't seem like someone you want to work with, you can refer them out to someone else. If they do seem like someone you want to work with, then you can say, okay, fantastic. So you are the kind of person I'm looking for. So now I'm going to send you my menu, which contains the different ways that people work with me. Let me know when you have that open. Now here, I really do recommend you send that email before you get to this point, because you've built up a momentum. It's really nice when you don't let the momentum fall by, again, having to wait for an email to arrive. I don't recommend that you send it at the exact same time as the specialties list, because it'll confuse people. They'll open up the wrong thing, and you don't want them looking at the prices until it gets to the part of the call when they're meant to look at the prices. So don't send it at the same time as the specialties list, but try to send it before you get to this part of the call. So it's already there. So let me know when you have it open, Heather.
Oh, yeah, I have it, actually.
Okay, perfect. I'll briefly go over what's in each package. So the accelerated package is the most customized. You get 4 private sessions with me a month, and then you can see that I give you 4 different gifts for free. So you get the group course that I run. You get this video series I created on family entanglements. You get, I'm just making stuff up now, a once-a-month group coaching call, and you get a Facebook group that we can all be a part of. Now, in the middle one, the Platinum package, you get 2 private sessions with me a month, and then you get 3 gifts. You get the group coaching calls, you get the 4 video series, and then you get these 2 guides on family entanglements and childhood imprints. And then in the Gold Club, that's the group course. So that one we meet every Wednesday at noon, and we'll be doing our disentanglement and re-imprinting sessions there. And then you'll also get the 2 guides as a gift. So which of these are you attracted to? So pause.
Well, the top. I want the best, the top one, but I don't know about the price. So,
Okay, pause for 1 second. Pause. So if you heard I briefly described each package. I named it by name, accelerated package. I said it's the most comprehensive. And then I said you get 4 private sessions a month. And if they're looking at it with you, you don't have to read the whole line, which says something like 4 private sessions a month on the phone or on Skype, 45 minutes each. Like, you don't have to say all that. They're looking at it. So I just say you get 4 private sessions a month. I might say the time. You get 4 45-minute sessions a month that are private. And then you get these 4 gifts. And I only name the gifts. If the gifts need a descriptor because the name is not self-explanatory, you will need to say something. So, for example, I'm going to give you the gift of Freedom Tribe. Freedom Tribe is the weekly group where we do disentanglement and re-imprinting sessions. So I had to say an explanatory sentence because they don't know what Freedom Tribe means yet. So sometimes you do need to say a one-sentence short descriptor if it's not clear. I'm also going to give you the 2 guides on family entanglements and childhood imprints and the Facebook group where all the tribe members hang out. Now, maybe the Facebook group has a name. Maybe it's like Freedom Tribe FB. So I might say you're also going to get Freedom Tribe FB, which is the Facebook group where all the tribe members hang out. So keep it really short and then move on to the next package. Then we've got the Platinum package. And in that, you get 2 45-minute sessions a month that are private. And then you get these 2 gifts, and then you name them. And so, again, keeping the descriptions really brief, that also means that your menu has to be very brief and clear, like concise. Once you get to the end of reading what's in the package, then you say, okay, so which of these are you attracted to? Or which of these are you drawn to? Now, that wording is specific, not which of these do you want.
Mm-hmm.
Drawn to and attracted to allows people to tell you what their desire is rather than what they're committing to. So don't make them commit so early on. You're leaning in for the kiss too soon. Just ask them what they're attracted to, and they'll tell you, just like Heather did. Well, I'm really attracted to the accelerated package, but the price is a little bit of a doozy. And I might then encourage her, if she stops there, if she doesn't say anything else, I might say, so does that mean that the Platinum package might be a better fit? Right? Because if she's naming price as the issue, that's what the middle package is for, and that's what the smaller package is for. It's to help fit in people's budget. So I'm just going to check in with her if it's also a good enough fit, or if she's like, no, I really want that Platinum package or the accelerated package. So, Heather, how about the Platinum package? Is that one perhaps a better fit then?
Well, I get you're talking financially. It might even be the lowest one, but maybe the lowest one.
Okay. Now, a lot of folks, sometimes if they're working within a budget, they might start with Gold Club and then they upgrade later. So it's perfectly fine to actually start with Gold Club and then move to Platinum or Accelerated later.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm saying that because a lot of people don't realize that they can upgrade. So I'm saying that right now so people realize, oh, good, freedom to move around.
Okay.
And let's see, what else is useful to teach here? Now, I might say to them, now one thing we can do also is to customize a package for you.
Oh.
And we can kind of make a custom blend of some of these things if we need to. We can kind of get a little bit creative and experiment with that. So what is it about the accelerated package that has you attracted to it?
Well, you know, it's the personal attention. That's but obviously that's a premium, but that's what appeals to me a lot, personal.
Okay. Well, how about this? I actually don't have a package that has the group coaching in it and then 1 private a month. And that would make it more affordable, and it's kind of an in-between gold and platinum. Is that something that might be interesting?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's start playing with that. So let's say that we basically do gold package, gold club, and then we add one private session. And then later on, as you start building your business, you might end up upgrading to just straight up platinum and just add another private session per month. But in the meantime, at least we can get you started with at least one private session, because I know you like to have that personalized touch. What if we made it, so let me just do the math. Let me grab a calculator. So I really do this. I get creative with people on the phone. I literally grab a calculator while we're together and figure stuff out. And so I might say something like, well, Gold Club is $97 a month. Platinum Club is $297 a month. So what if we did something like $197 a month?
Okay.
As a place to just start out. Is that something that would be doable?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, cool. Then we can create a customized package just for you, Heather's package, and it'll be like kind of like Gold Plus. And so I'll start getting that set up. But first, do you have any questions about this customized package we're creating for you? So pause for a second. Speaking to the whole class, so she told me she wants the biggest one, but she told me she can only afford the smallest one. I happened to throw out that we can get creative and create a customized package since we've both learned that she likes the customized touch. And so I came up with something on the fly. I did some quick math. I figured out I can do that for $197. I'm fine with that. I offer it to her. She says yes. No matter where you are, no matter if somebody's like, I want this package, or I think I want this package, you always got to get to the point where you say, so what are your questions? What are your questions about that package, or what are your questions in general? And let them ask their questions, because they don't always ask them on their own until you invite them to. So now in this example call, we've set up Heather's special package. It's kind of like a Gold Plus. So I say, do you have any questions?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I love that you're being so flexible, that you're creating my own package, so thank you so much. But I'm really cognizant of the fact that I'm not getting the four sessions. So I'm just curious, like, if someone who's doing my level, what do you anticipate I would get out of this? Or what have you seen in the past, someone who's at this in-between level or something comparable to it? I'm just curious.
Yeah. So the group class is really awesome because, let me see, I'm actually in this fake call. we were doing family entanglement work, not business coaching. So technically I have to say the group courses are awesome because in Freedom Tribe I am doing a disentanglement session and a re-imprinting session for you twice a month. And when we add this extra private, I'm going to have to reverse engineer this for a minute. Because the way that we just set up, the way that I just read the packages is a little bit more for business coaching. For example, I don't do 45-minute privates let's pretend I do. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
Oh, you know, we did talk about business a lot during the last session, so if you want to frame it in that way, that's fine.
Okay, actually, I'll go ahead and do that since a lot of you are kind of helping people with business anyways, but I'll also go back and do it the other way. So if this were business, I would say, the business group course is awesome. We meet four times a month, and each week I'm going over, you know, the next step that you need to learn. But when you have that private in there, when you have some private sessions at all, what it does is it helps you to go faster, because in the private, I'm going to do stuff for you and with you. And so rather than simply needing to figure it out like by yourself, in the private, I'm going to be able to actually just kind of take over the reins and write stuff for you or create stuff for you or do your marketing for you. And so whenever anybody has a private, they move a lot faster because they have somebody who's already done it a million times doing it for them. And I'm used to translating the course materials and kind of customizing it to fit your business. So it just makes it faster, it makes it easier, and when people have a private versus not having any privates, it's just what people tell me is it's faster, it's easier. They like that I can, whenever they get stuck on something, they can just basically hand it over to me and I do it for them. So you might end up being like, okay, I'm just, like, this thing that you just taught last week, I get it conceptually. I can't seem to, for whatever reason, I can't seem to write it myself. Like, can you just do this one? And I'll say, yeah, let me just do this for you. So that's what the privates do.
Okay. Okay, that sounds good.
Yeah, it's fun. Now, by the way, did you see what I just did? She said, that sounds good. And I responded in a best friend kind of way. Like, yeah, it's fun, right? I didn't say, like, mm-hmm, yes. Like, I didn't be professional about it. I was warm about it. I was friend about it. And that's what I want you to be able to do. Like, stay in the friend zone. Stay in the warmth. Stay in the connection. Don't wax professional. This is not the time that you say, mm-hmm, yes, yes, it is better. Like, don't get dry. Stay friends. And if this was a family entanglement thing, it would probably sound something like this. So for people who do, like, I'm thinking more like when it's not a business thing, like health coaching. Actually, I'm going to pretend like it's health coaching since we have somebody that does health coaching. So if Heather asked about what that private does, I would say, in the group classes, I'm taking you step by step each week on how to transition your diet so that you just start naturally eating healthier and you don't even notice because I'm doing a slow transition. There's no cold turkey with me because people usually fall off of their diets when they go cold turkey. And when you have that private in there, we can actually go real deep into something that's important for you. So, like, let's say for you, one of the places that's the, like, one of the habits that's the hardest to break is chocolate chip cookies. Like, for whatever reason, your favorite snack is chocolate chip cookies. And whenever you get stressed, that's your go-to snack. And whatever's happening in your life, you just feel better once you've got your cookies. So what people use the privates for is whenever they're getting really stuck on something and they're having trouble breaking a habit or it's just something that's been a part of their, well, I don't know. That it's just been a hard habit to break, that's when we do some deeper work to help you unplug from the habit. And that's why people love having at least some privates in their package.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, yes, coming back to pausing and going meta on the conversation, let them ask their questions. People often have questions about upgrading. By the way, if they don't ask about upgrading or being able to shift and change, try to remember to mention it. You can just say, hey, and by the way, whichever package you start off at, you know, I have a 6-month minimum of working with me, and you can move around. So if you end up being like, ooh, this is so awesome, I actually want to upgrade to the platinum, you can do that. You're not like married to Gold Club for 6 months. You can move around. So if people don't ask that question, you can actually let them know. And another thing to ask them is, what are your hesitations? Even if you feel like the call is going so well and it doesn't feel like they have any hesitations, ask the question anyway. Because people in the moment can be really excited and they're not thinking about their hesitations, but they have them. And if you don't ask about it and you get off the phone and then they go, oh, shit. There's this thing that I'm not sure about that makes me not want to sign up. If you wait until they get off the phone for that, they don't have you there to ask. And I will tell you now that most hesitations are simply unanswered questions. And what I mean by that is, for every hesitation, you can come up with a solution. But if you're not on the phone with them, you're not there to provide that solution. And people don't realize that you can be flexible with their hesitations, or that sometimes their hesitations are a moot point. So, for example, if a hesitation is, well, I don't want to be married to Gold Club for 6 months, well, the answer to that is you can upgrade at any time. You're not stuck at all. Oh, cool, because I wasn't sure if I really needed gold for 6 months. I feel like I only need it for 2 months, and then I'd be ready to upgrade. Awesome, you totally can. So what's another hesitation? Well, actually, I didn't even ask this question yet. So, Heather, what are your hesitations, if any?
No, it's just a little scary, but I'm more hesitant about what would happen to me if I didn't do it.
Oh. Wow. I've never that's a really great thing to hear. Because if somebody says that, you can say, what are some of the things that might happen if you didn't do it? Out of curiosity. Like, what is it that you're trying to avoid?
Well, if I didn't, it'd be like the death of my soul. I mean, not to be what I need to become, not to become what I need to become. It's not it's not an option. No.
Oh, wow. I love how into your, I love how aligned with your purpose you are. I didn't realize it was so, like you're right there. It feels like you're on the tipping point for you to say that.
Mm.
So, pause. Just speaking to the tribe. I haven't really heard people say that when I ask about hesitation. It's a really cool thing if they do say that, because that's technically a question you can ask. It's a supplemental question that's not on here. It's the opposite question of the first supplement question, which is, if we work together, what do you see yourself getting out of it? You can actually add this supplemental question right now, if you like, since Heather brought it up, which is, something to the effect of, what are some of the things that will happen if you don't do anything about this right now? So that's the same question basically that she kind of just answered. And you can technically use that as a supplemental question if you like.
Mm-hmm.
Let me try to think of other hesitations that are just common hesitations. So the 6-month minimum or the year minimum can be a hesitation. There's a couple of different answers to that. One is, when I work with people, it takes time for me to get to know them and learn them. And so it's a little bit pointless if I don't work with somebody over time, especially since if we want real change and if we want long-lasting change and long-lasting results, you can't do that in like a month. And for that matter, I won't work with people who are looking for a quick fix or a silver bullet, because that's the kind of mindset that gets people into failing and that gets people into trouble. Like, that's not actually how you succeed. So I'm allergic to that, and I don't want to attract people who think that way. And so one of the measures is, I know that I can create long-term change when I work with somebody over time. The 6-month minimum is there to make sure that we have that time to create those results. And it's a time period where I'm committing to you and your business and learning you and helping you grow it. And in essence, you're also committed to your own business and it growing, mm-hmm. and us doing that together. So that's why there's a 6-month minimum. Another thing I could say is, in a 6-month minimum in the Platinum package, that's only 12 sessions. So that's not a whole lot. Like, if you think about when people go and they want to get trim and slim, they don't go to the gym 12 times. Or if somebody's, wanting to get rid of or change something in their life, they don't go to a therapist 12 times. So it's a little bit silly to think that business would be any different, or it's a little bit silly to think that learning computers would be any different, or it's a little bit silly to think that working with your health would be any different. Life doesn't work that way. We don't work that way as humans. So I'm saying these things to people, and again, I'm saying it in that friendly tone. I'm staying animated. I'm not turning into talking like a professional. Leave the professional talk at home. Stay friendly, stay warm. Let me think if there's some other good answers for that question. I think those are pretty good for starters. You can also say things like, I like to break things down step by step and hold people's hand to help them get the result. And you can't do that in like 2-3 months. It's just not enough time. We'd be, you know, trying to force too many things into your brain at once. And what happens is, because I've tried to do it in the past, what happens is it all falls out your ears. Like, it won't stay in. You won't get the results you want. It's 6 months because I've noticed that that's a good amount of time for anybody to change habits and actually get what they want in life. You know, 12 sessions, or if you have the accelerated package, that's 24 sessions. And if you know their goals, or when you know their goals, you can actually tailor the answer to the goals they've told you. So, for example, in this case, making 20 grand a month is not something that happens overnight. We have to set up some systems together. We have to create some marketing together. And there's things that you'll need to learn how to do that come with a bit of a learning curve. Right? Or when you want to lose 50 pounds, it's unhealthy to lose 50 pounds in 2 months. We don't want to do that to you. It's going to actually kick your endocrine system into overdrive, and then your adrenals are going to burn out. And so we have to do it respectfully to your body, especially if we want the weight to stay off, and especially if we don't want your diabetes to flare up. So we've got to do this in increments, or else we get in trouble, and your whole body will backfire. In the case of Meryl, if you've ever tried to take a class where they try to teach you in 4 weeks how to master Excel, what you'll notice is that you can't retain what they're teaching because they're moving too fast. That's just not how humans learn. I can't show you something once and you're just going to have it memorized, right? So we have to do this over time where I can show you more than once. You can demonstrate it back to me. That's how we learn. And so I've set things up in the way that humans actually learn and retain knowledge, where it actually becomes a part of them, not in one ear, not the other. In the case of Heather, well, it takes me time to create the videos for you and set up your marketing, and I have to write and create things and film things. And so we put each step into place one by one, and we do that over time. We need to set up the systems and test them to make sure each one works. And so 6 months is a good amount of time to get all of these systems set up and have them functioning properly and to dovetail together so they all work together in unison. In the case of Mary, I've got different templates I want to give you and show you when it comes to blogging. So not only do I want to be able to show you how to set up your blog, I want to teach you how to write the different articles and how to create headlines and do the meta tags. And that's just one chunk. The other thing that you said you wanted to learn and that we think is going to really build your business is doing video marketing. And so I'm going to show you how to set up your camera and set up your microphone and help you write your video strips and show you how to upload it to YouTube. And then we're actually going to create your first 4 videos together so that you really have the hang of it. And it's like you know it like the back of your hand. So 6 months is a really good amount of time to be able to set up your blog, get you really good and comfortable with it, and set up your video marketing. Because I don't want to rush you, and I don't want to do shoddy work either. Just kind of half-ass it. Because what's the point? You can say stuff like that, right? You can, because it's true. Like, you don't want to do shoddy work. You don't want to half-ass it. You don't want to give them a crappy version of whatever the thing is. So you can say that. Okay. So I'm going to mark that we ended here at the hesitations section. When we come back next time, we can continue with the next part of it. We're at time, but I just want to check in on what questions you have about what we've covered so far today. You can raise your hand by pressing 1 on the dial pad. No questions? How about comments? I'll unmic everybody. I'll turn on everyone's mic. Meryl, you just raised your hand, so why don't you start us off?
Ann, I did have a question, and this might be really general, but maybe you can just talk a little bit more about the psychology of stories.
I'm sorry, Meryl, can you move the microphone closer to your mouth?
Yeah,
because if one else's mic is on, it's harder to hear you.
No problem. This is kind of just in general, but I was just curious if you could just elaborate just a tiny bit more about the psychology of stories.
Psychology of mini stories?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so mini stories are a really great way to basically give social proof and give a testimonial at the same time about real results that you've gotten for real people before, or real results that your methodology has gotten for other people before. So in the case of Mary, the systems that she teaches are systems that other people have used before. You don't have to, if you haven't had a whole bunch of clients yet, you can talk about how this type of system, like blogging or video marketing, gets these kinds of results for people. Here's one example. And you can just look at some testimonials. In Mary's case, you can look at testimonials within the company that you work with. In Anne's case, I know that Anne has worked with different friends and family members, so you have some results from there that you can share. And mini stories are a way to avoid pitching, because no one likes being pitched to. And pitching is a sort of 1970s, 60s, 50s sales method, but people can't stand it, because the pitch is you talking about yourself for like an extended period of time, and people's eyes glaze over and they start paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
And so this mini story, like if you notice, so much of what I'm teaching you is keep it short, keep it short. Whenever you're talking, keep it short. Your menu of your packages, keep it short. Like everything needs to be short and concise, because we don't want them having to digest a whole bunch of stuff. We want them to actually keep talking, because people love talking about themselves. It's easy to talk. Your attention stays very present when you talk about yourself. When somebody else is talking for a long period of time, your attention can fade. So the mini stories are kept short psychologically so that people don't fade. And it's a snapshot of a before and after. So psychologically, they can see, here's a person, because the format of the mini story is, here's a person who had a same or similar problem as you. They worked with me, and here's the result they had at the end. So it's a really short before and after snapshot that gives social proof that the methodology that you use or your style of working has a benefit, has a positive effect. And it builds trust, because they can get the experience of real-world stories, of results that people get. And humans learn really well through story. So when you use an example, a human example, with another human who went through an experience and had a before and after, it's easy for your clients to learn from that story. Because that's just how we're built. For centuries, for eons, we have passed on stories tribally of the generations before. And now as a society, we've moved into television and movies to tell our stories and books. So our brains are primed for taking in information through story, hence the mini stories. So is that good, Meryl? Does that give you some of the juice you were looking for?
That was perfect. I do have one other question, and that was, notice since you wrote in the supplemental, the new one, that was also a question that you had possibly, I guess we can choose when we can use it, but that was also when we were doing the interviewing.
Mm-hmm.
And you would
it is.
Say, yeah, so do you want us to use that just once, I'm assuming? You don't want to repeat it.
Yeah, you definitely don't use it twice. I sometimes use question 17 in phase one, which is after you ask someone on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 is unimportant, 10 is important, how important is this? And is this a front burner thing or a back burner thing? You can technically ask, okay, we're going to break the positive words thing for just a minute. If you don't do something about this right now, what are the bad things that can or will happen? You can choose to put it there. Sometimes I don't like doing it in the beginning because I don't like to break the positive flow.
Thank you.
In which case, you can use a supplemental question somewhere in phase two, before the final phase, right? Right now it's written as in the final phase. Once you start having them look at the menus and the specialties list, then there's that supplemental question. So you can actually play with when you ask it. Use your intuition or just test it out and see where you actually like putting it. Do you like it at the end of phase one as question number 17? Do you like it perhaps at the end of phase two? After you ask a bunch of questions and tell your mini stories, but before you offer your specialties list? Or do you like it right after the specialties list? Now, the psychology of having it after the specialties list is they actually know more about what you do that they didn't before. Because the specialties list is, again, like the mini stories, it's a pitch workaround. So instead of pitching, you're telling mini stories, and instead of pitching, they look at the specialties list, get a really quick hit of the breadth and depth of all the work that you can do, and they go, they often say things like, wow, I didn't know you did that also. Oh, cool, that's in there? Yeah, I like that. So asking, hey, if we don't work together, what are some of the things that you see, you know, that might happen that suck? Then they kind of have even more of an idea. Because in this case, Heather might end up saying, well, I would never get to start doing the public speaking thing either. Or, I mean, I wouldn't start getting to the public speaking thing either, which was a dream of mine. And I didn't realize you taught that. So, Meryl, you can experiment with it.
Thank you. This is perfect.
Great. And Heather, you have your hand raised. What's your question or comment?
Just a quick question. In your experience, to what degree does this process kind of weed out the people who are really gung-ho in the beginning but fizzle out or maybe not accountable or not so as serious as you want them to be or as you are
mm-hmm.
for them?
What this process does is get people really excited about the goals they have for themselves, and sometimes it gets them in touch with the goals they have that they didn't even realize they had. There's that, like this whole phase one, some people don't even realize what their goals are and how those goals are actually attached to larger and larger goals until you take them through this process. And they're like, wow, I didn't even see, I don't know why I never thought of it, but I knew I wanted to be a public speaker or I knew I wanted to kind of get started in my business, but I didn't really see how this is all intimately tied to me buying a house and starting a family and getting married, because I kind of have it in my head that I won't do any of those things until I start my business. And so, like, starting my business not only gets me my business, it actually gets me closer to falling in love and having a family. I didn't even realize that until we did this. So it has the effect of connecting people to a lot of their goals and getting them really excited about it in a way that they might not have been until you took them through this process.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, phase two gets them really clear about, oh, shoot, I didn't realize these things were in my way and I didn't realize these things were missing. I didn't even know what I didn't know until we just went over this. I didn't know that I can get customers while I slept, Heather, through the video marketing that you can do for me. Like, what? Geez, that's a dream of mine to be able to be making money while I'm not at the computer. Like, how cool is that? So this process is meant to, like, excite people and educate people about what they want and what's missing. And in terms of weeding them out, I mean, definitely what happens when they, like, partially the six-month commitment thing is there so that you weed out those bullet people. The silver bullet people, the quick fix people, are crappy to work with. You will hate working with them because they're the people that expect you to do everything and, like, fix their world or their business or their life, and they don't want to do anything. They kind of almost want to just hand everything over to you and then not cooperate, like not really participate.
Mm-hmm.
And so the 6 month thing helps to weed people out. And that's useful. The price point can help weed people out
mm-hmm.
because By the time that you got to, sometimes just having that 97 a month minimum, for example, or and later on once you raise your prices, helps to weed out the people who sometimes what the price can help do is weed out people who have a mental health issue. And you wouldn't have a way of knowing that, but one thing I've noticed over the years is that people who have mental health issues can have, and this isn't true across the board, I'm not saying that this is like always true, but people who have severe mental health issues that you might not notice because some of them are more hidden, like the personality disorders, they're not at all fun to work with. They make your life quite a, they can make your life quite a living hell, depending on the particular mental health issue they have. And they also tend to have trouble holding down jobs or making money. And so sometimes when people can't afford you, it's a good thing because mm-hmm. you're weeding out the folks that they can't hold down a job because they're mean to people. And they're mean at work, so they get fired. And you don't realize they're mean yet, but later on you're going to find out they're mean. And they're more trouble than they're worth. And so sometimes that the price points could weed out people in that way, and that can be a useful thing.
Mm-hmm.
Later on,
mm-hmm.
what I'm going to teach you guys, I mean, the whole point right now is practice, right? Get as many of these under your belt as possible. And I said this to a few of you. I'm going to say it again here. I want you to imagine that you're going to start making money on your 21st free consult.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just kind of have it in your mm-hmm. mind. My 21st free consult is when I'm going to get a client. I want you to race to that 21st free consult. I want you to book those first 20 and get them the heck out of the way. You just have to almost like acquiesce to that the first 20 are simply practice and you're not going to make money, and that 21st is like guaranteed making money. I'm not saying this is true, but I want you to act that way because I want you to get through that first 20 as fast as possible and just – you know, like these are the, it's sort of like rite of passage. These are the practice sessions I have to get through so I can start making money.
Okay.
And so just get through them. Book as many as you can. Don't try to get the signups. Don't worry about people not signing up, but I want you to book them with real humans, real non-students, and get them done. And just get the practice under your belt. And later on, once you guys are all just good at free consults, like it's just natural and it's easy for you and it's no biggie, I'm going to eventually set you up with an application that people have to fill out, and that's going to be your second weeding out methodology. The application helps you weed out who gets a free consult and who doesn't, so that later on, not every Jack and Jill off the street can just get a free consult willy-nilly. They might have to fill out an application first. And then when you look at the application, you can see like, oh, this person has no way to afford me, so there's no point in giving them a free, like a full-on free consult right now. Instead, I'm going to do like a 30-minute and see if I can set them up with something that's like maybe I'll create a special like beginner's package for them that's only $47 a month, even though that's not part of my menu mm-hmm. system right now. Or I'm going to get on the phone with them for 10 minutes. I'm going to refer them out to my friend who works with people who are much more newbies. And I know that if this person signs up with my friend, they'll give me a 10% thank you check in the mail. So the application is going to be part of what weeds people out for you in the future. Once you're like, oh, I have so many clients, or you know, I don't want to be doing a gazillion free consults anymore, they've got to fill out an application. Is that why you're asking, by the way? What is the purpose behind your question?
Concern that maybe some of the people I'm talking to are not as serious as I am.
Oh. Actually, okay. That you get to hear about in phase one. And sometimes if you feel like, well, later on, right now I just want you to practice and get all the way through the script, even if it doesn't feel like the person's serious, just so you can get the practice
mm-hmm.
under your belt.
Mm-hmm.
Later
mm-hmm.
on, when you're in phase one and you're asking them on a scale of 1 to 10, how important is this? If you're getting like, oh, this is a 5, And one of the questions I ask is, why is it only a 5? What would make it a 10? Well, I feel like I need to get married first before I start a business. Oh, okay. Didn't realize that. You actually have a life event that you actually want to put in place first before you actually get started. And then they might have, you know, goal number 2, and I say, well, on a scale of 1 to 10, how important is this? Also a 5. Oh, why is it a 5 instead of a 10? Well, I really want to X before I start doing that. Oh, okay. Well, of any of the goals that you have, are any of them a 10? No, because all of them, you know, I need to do something else first before they happen. Oh, okay. In which case, you, in the future, you would stop the free consult right there.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not ready to go on anything. Ow. Sorry. They're not ready to go on anything. And then you might say to them, you might transition at that point and say, well, it sounds like there are things that you want to put into place first before you do any of these things. And it's actually really useful to have this particular session with me right before you're about to start. So I think what we should do is, it does still sound like it might be an interesting thing to explore, to work together in the future. We should set up an appointment, like a follow-up appointment, maybe a number of months in the future, and do another check-in. Because I don't want to waste this session, because mm-hmm. this session, what we're about to do in phase 2, which we haven't gotten to yet, is really important to be thinking about, like, right before you actually start doing stuff. So it's fresh on your mind, and so we both have it fresh on both of our minds. So let's look at the calendar and, like, set an appointment maybe, I don't know, 6 months from now or a year from now, depending on what they said, right? If this person's like, I need to get married, I might be like, whoa, I'm not even booking a future session because who knows when that'll happen. That's way too unpredictable. But if someone says, like, I don't want to get started on building my business until I move, and I'm moving in the summer. Oh, okay, I tell you what. And I'll say the same thing. This session is really good right before you get started because we're about to cover stuff that's important that you don't want to forget. So let's book this session, and we'll actually do this after you move. So when do you move? Oh, I moved, you know, June 21st. Okay, great. I want to give you time to get settled into your house once you move in. So, like, maybe, I don't know, August 15th, like, you know, 3 weeks after. Does that feel like a good amount of time? And then we rebook the session. Because I want them to have their session right before they get started. Because there's too much valuable information that you're going to give them that they're going to forget, and it's not going to be useful. And you're going to have to redo the session again later anyways. And so it makes no sense to do it now if they have one of those caveats like, well, I don't want to get started till I move, or I don't want to get started till I graduate, right? My mother is in the hospital right now, and I'm doing the caretaking. And so I know that I'm responsible for that for the next 2 months. I have no more space to do anything until then. Oh, okay. Let's rebook this call until after you're done with that. So that's what you would do in the future. Right now, I would want you to just get through the call anyway. Because you just need the practice. And then when you get to the end of the call, you can rebook a follow-up for them 2 months in the future, however many months that might be useful, and redo the session again. Because by that time, they might have some new answers. And they'll forget what you have said, so you'll need to re-go over phase 2 and tell them all their missing stuff again. All their, you know, these are the problem points. And it'll be good practice for you. In the future, you would just rebook it. Right now, I want you to have the practice.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Also with your stuff, Heather, when people aren't entirely ready, and actually this kind of works for everyone, so I will say this caveat, sometimes people aren't entirely ready for what you have on your menu currently, right? They look at your menu and they're like, ooh, I don't feel like I'm ready to start any of this. This all looks too overwhelming. It looks too much. At that point, that's where you throw in the, well, actually, we can customize something for you. So maybe we can make this, we can customize this into a more bite-sized chunk that fits where you're at right now, and then later when you feel more ready, you can upgrade if you want to, in which case people might go like, oh, that sounds cool because I kind of want to get started, but I feel like all of the things that you have right now are just too much for me. And they say, okay, well, let's think about this. What's, like, one good place to start? And so if it's Anne, she might say, let's choose one of your goals, right? So maybe one of your goals is you want to cut gluten out of your diet. I know you want to lose 15 pounds, and you want to cut gluten out of your diet, and you want to handle your diabetes, but let's just pick one first. Maybe we start up with a smaller package, just focusing on that one. And the same with Heather. Maybe we just do PR for you right now. Like, once you've talked to them, you know a little bit about their business. You can either make an offer like that, like, maybe we just do PR right now. Or you can say to them, well, look at the specialties list. Or, you know, as of what we talked about today, like, if we just chose one thing to start with, what was the thing that got you the most excited? Oh, well, I would love if you can fix my Yelp stuff. Okay, reputation management. Maybe let's create something with just reputation management first.
Mm-hmm. Dana?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go finish your thought.
Oh, I was just going to do a Merrill example. I've been going around the room and breaking down and customizing examples. A Merrill example might be, well, I know you want to learn Excel so that you can do X, Y, and Z in the workplace. But I know that right now you have a project due in a month, and at the very least, you want to be able to get that done well. So maybe we create a customized package that just gets you to make sure that that project gets done well first. And then from there, we can create the next package. So all you're doing is just try to really minimize things for people so that they can feel like they can take a baby step with you. Like, if they just feel like what's in your packages currently is overwhelming or too much, then give them a baby step. Create a silver club for them. Okay, let's create a silver club. We'll make it more bite-sized, like a snack, like an appetizer. And you can say it kind of cute like that, and people appreciate it. So stay playful. And who had the next question? Someone just said my name a moment ago. No one? Okay. Are our brains nice and full for this particular chunk of information? I'm guessing we're at a good stopping point.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Good. So I haven't put up new videos because I want to make sure that we're taking time now to focus on implementation and not giving you more stuff because I don't want to end up triggering your overwhelm buttons. Because I know that when there's new content up, people can start to feel like, oh, my God, I'm falling behind. I need to watch this and we don't have time. And so I don't want to do that to you guys. Because the most important thing right now is y'all are at your tipping point of starting to get things rolling. And all of your attention right now should be on booking your free consults and getting those 20 practices under your belt. Like, get them out of the way. Like, think about it in those terms. Like, I just got to get these out of the way. And so I will tell you that when I first started doing this, I was booking maybe 3 consults a day. And for me, I could do about 4 or 5 max in a day before I was just like, okay, I'm done, I'm toast. So, and that's, of course, if you're not also working in another place. If you also have a day job and some other work that you're doing, then maybe you're only doing like 2 a day in the evenings, or maybe 1 a day, just depends on how late you get off. Ideally, book as many as you can, and I do have videos up for you to post on Facebook in a multitude of ways to try to get consults. You can also book on each other's timelines and for each other. So you can actually talk to each other. And, for example, Merrill can put up on his own timeline, my friend Anne is giving away 15 private sessions on health. So if you want to lose weight, address a health issue, or do some kind of shift with your diet, she's amazing at it. And if you want to grab one of her 15 sessions, private message her, and then you can tag her in it, and, you know, so that people can actually click on her name and then message her. Now, the only problem with that is people don't always private message. They just write it in the comments, I want one. And so you have to go back and monitor the post to see who says, I want one, in the comments. But you can do this for each other. Post on your own timelines or just get permission from each other to it's nice if you post on your own timeline because then it shows up in your news feed rather than just tagging each other. Because the other option is to say, you're on your own post, I'm giving away 15 health sessions on blah, 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 blah. Please private message me if you want one. And then you tag your friends, Meryl, Mary, Heather, so that it shows up on their timeline. I just can't remember if it'll show up in their feed or only on their timeline. Does it, Mary?
Yeah. In fact, these days you can reply to a comment on one of your posts. They've added that feature. And every time you reply,
the same visibility, though.
Every time
I know that
comment,
Facebook has algorithms.
Yeah, every time you comment, it should go, or you get a new comment, it should go back through the news feed. And every time you reply to a comment, it should also go back.
Goes back on
the
news feed.
Yeah.
But does it have the same level of visibility if you post directly to your timeline versus if you just tag your friend's name in it? I mean, if Meryl writes it on his own timeline himself versus if you tag Meryl?
I think so, because their algorithms are based on interaction. And the more you interact, the higher your edge rank is, and therefore the more people see what you post.
Okay. So y'all can do it a multitude of ways. You can tag each other in your post. You can pre-write your post and email it to each other and ask the other people, hey, please post this on your timeline. And then you can comment on each other's posts and say things like, yep, I've spoken with her. She knows her stuff. Just as a comment, right, to just kind of like reboost the post in the timeline, give a little bit of street credibility and accolades. And then remember to go into groups, and you can do the same thing. You can post for other people in the groups, but you can't put their name in it. Unless they're a part of the group, then the tag doesn't work. So you'd have to say something like, private message me if you want to grab one of these sessions. And then you'd have to pass the name along to the person. And you also need to go back and look at your post in the group, since people will comment and say, I want one, without private messaging.
You should get a notification from the groups that there was a comment left.
Okay, in which case, y'all have to look at your notifications clearly. I mean, search through them. And so you can definitely help each other out on that. You can definitely help yourselves out on that. Remember to read group rules, since some groups say you can only post on a Monday, and some groups say only post once a week or whatever. They've all got their different rules. So definitely check that out. But now's the time to start posting that and grabbing some of those free consults. And remember, don't try to get it perfect. Think of it as practice. Allow yourself to screw up in the middle of the free consult. Allow your voice to be shaky. Allow yourself to say, hold on a sec, let me just take a look at my notes. If you need to pause, if you lose your place, which I've done, I've like lost my place. Like, what was the last thing I said? Let me look at my notes. Allow yourself to completely screw it up, because that's what the first 20 are for. They're for you to screw it up. And I want you to go out there and screw it up and have fun with it and just get it out of the way and just, like, think about it as, I'm going to go in here and screw these things up and, like, have that attitude. You know, like, don't try to put the pressure on yourself to get it perfect and work yourselves all up, because I don't want anything slowing you down from actually just doing these things. Right? Like, if you're noticing that you're procrastinating, if you're noticing that you're letting other things come up, if you're noticing that you're like, maybe I should work on my specialties list some more. I don't know if that's quite right. Forget it. Like, leave those things alone and just get into the calls. I don't care what you need to do to make it happen. Make it happen. And if you're running into any difficulty or challenge, I want you to let me know what it is so I can help you move around the block. If it's some kind of inner obstacle, if it's a mental block, if it's a time issue, if you're having trouble with Facebook, like whatever the issue is, let me know, because I want to support you in getting over the block or working around the block so you can actually start getting some of these calls under your belt. Because I promise you, it's easier than you think, and once you get the hang of it, you're going to be in love with it, and you're going to not be able to wait to do more because you're going to start getting clients and getting paid, which is very exciting. So, yeah, try to book as many as you can. Let me know what's getting in your way, and we'll go from there. Sound good?
Yes.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much for coming on here to play. I know we've run half an hour extra, so a little bonus time. And go out and have fun with it and help each other out, and I will talk to each of you very soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, take care, everyone.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
You are currently the only person in this conference.
Santa!
Thank you.